Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With Edelman split right, play fake by Brady on a deep drop and a lot of time against a four-man rush. He throws it to the near side, picked off, and goodbye. Eric Rowe's going to take it to the house down the left side with a pick six. That's his first interception in the last 4 years in regular season play, and he does it at his old home stadium here in New England.
Keep goofing around. Keep goofing around. Now, Sanu's running a deep drag there. I don't blame him for not throwing it to it. He sticks with Edelman. This is what happens when you lose the trust of a quarterback. So they do a combo route. Sanu's running that deep drag. Brady didn't even look at him. He's stuck with Edelman. The ball is delivered late to the flat. Eric Rowe sees it. He kind of sinks back and he baits him. He knows he's going to Edelman. You know why? Because he's played here and he knows what's going to happen. When things get dire, Tom's going to go to the guys he trusts.
Interesting.
All right.
So, Joe, you were suggesting there that that Tom, he already tried to throw to Sanu, and so
immediately after the Sanu drop, that play came.
Interesting. So the option was maybe better to go to Sanu in that play, but he's like, dude, I can't trust this guy.
Sanu was open on the first window. Yeah. So Julian's the underneath guy. He's in the flat to the right. Tom's off the deep play fake. He fakes it to Sony Michel, who I got another problem with. He runs a flat right into Edelman.
Yeah, the spacing was not good.
Which may have helped draw Rowe.
It did.
A little closer to Edelman. So my point is, instead of, you know, going through the line and hooking up right over the ball, so at least you have spacing. Hook over the ball. Edelman way out in the flat. We already got a defender out there with Edelman. Mm-hmm. So now you run that flat route right into Edelman, so you got two guys in the same spot.
Yeah, you bring the defender.
Now that down safety all of a sudden starts to cheat a little more, and when he cheats, all of a sudden you got Sanu popping open on that deep drag behind it. So you know the concept there. It's a short. One guy runs through, and then you're looking for the over.
They bait you.
It's the old Chris Hogan route. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's Dorsett has run that. Tom just wouldn't go to Sanu there. See what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw it to my guy. He goes, because he looks at him, then he loses Rowe. Rowe kind of settles because he's cheating that way already because he sees Sony going that way. Mm-hmm. So you compound a problem with a bigger problem. You double compounded your problem. And it was just a late, lazy throw. Boom, pick six, bad throw. 10-0 at that point.
Yeah.
Now you got a ball game.
Yeah, yeah.
But they got it to 10-10, had the ball with a minute 40 left, the three timeouts, and decided to do nothing with it. So you tell me, how much is that weighing Bill's thinking of? We already turned a freaking ball
over. Oh, I think
dropping balls, we're running the wrong routes, quarterback's inaccurate.
Yeah.
F it. Let's go in. Let's regroup.
I think it had everything to do with that decision. It was a stunning, stunning decision to not use your timeouts before half. It's just, you've seen it. We've seen it. It's a Pavlovian response. We're all sitting there watching the game. We all know that the Patriots, nobody's better at getting the ball right before half, putting points on the board, and then getting the ball to start the second half, and away we go. And I guarantee you, Zoe, that pick six was played into Bill's decision to squat on the ball and let the clock run out and just go in with a tied game. But I don't understand. I don't care that the offense wasn't. I don't care that Tom wasn't playing well at that point. It's Tom freaking Brady. Let him do his thing. I know he hadn't played well up to that point.
You don't play tight to the vest. You're the aggressor.
Yes.
You're the one. You're the team that you're the team that's got the number two overall seed right now. You're the team playing at home. You're the team that's been to eight straight AFC title games.
Yes,
act like it.
You're right. You don't. You're pulling up the white flag. You're telling. I mean, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I'm going in at halftime.
You're saying them. They sprinted off the field, holding helmets up.
We got them. We got this team. Like, psychologically, we got them. They basically tapped out.
Yeah.
That's what that looked like. And so when you do such a kind of – when you basically pull up the white flag and just say, well, you guys – you know, you guys got our number today, man. We don't trust the greatest quarterback of all time to secure the ball and safely get us down the field. That is a huge psychological advantage right. to the Miami Dolphins going into that halftime and coming out, and they probably used that. I mean, they came out fired up, man. The first two plays to start the second half, Patriots got the ball, run.
Right.
Can we convert on third?
What do you think, Tim?
That was the worst loss I can remember since the 2010 playoffs against the Jets. That's when you rolled that team 45-3 and then came back and lost in the division round.
I racked my head last night because I'm trying to think regular season because that Ray Rice cutback game with Guyton overplaying it.
Yeah,
that was wild card.
Yep,
that's playoff game.
That was 2009.
Yeah.
Last time they played in a wild card game was that zone cutback.
Oh, that's right. You haven't played in a wild card game in 11 years.
Yeah. In the game they did play, it was the Baltimore game, Ray Rice, zone cutback, baby, that eight gap.
You know what season that was, too? That was the do-your-job season when Belichick's talking to the coaching staff before they take on the Texans that last regular season game, and he says, all you have to do is take out Welker and take out Moss, and we have nothing on offense. This team feels the same exact way.
Take away Edelman.
And it's over.
Yep. Take away Edelman. Wow. Let's go to Jake in Boston. You're up next here on the Sports Hub. What do you got, Jake?
Listen, 3 points, boys, and I'm glad we have two football guys here instead of Beetle. Number one, since the train actually works down at Gillette, I got there for warm-ups, and you could actually see yesterday coming from a mile away. I saw our running backs posing for fan selfies during warm-ups. Sony Michel's warm-ups, though. Have you seen this? Like, he's literally going through the motions, doesn't care. It's very careless. It's not like Edelman where he uses it as a means of getting motivated. And if Ernie Adams makes a big deal out of spotting things from warm-ups, you could spot the biggest upset in the NFL this century from a mile away. They sleptwalked through it.
Did you bet the game once you saw that?
I was so bummed out I didn't. They don't have mobile betting at Gillette. Listen, if I were in Rhode Island, I would have. Because I started sending photos around opposing players to friends and family saying, this team.
I've watched all different groups warm up. I know how the running backs warm up. They all go through different stuff. I don't have a problem with the way Sony warms up. Each guy's different.
Yeah.
Edelman's a freaking machine. He's nuts. He's got to, like, wind it up and let's get it going.
Yeah.
You know, Brady gauges things out. They all do. Watch the defensive backs. It's systematic, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to
play the ball. We don't put the hands up. Yeah.
I'm not going to worry. The warm-up is
– You warm up at 80%.
You never want to go – you remember in college, we do bowling.
Your job is to get loose. Your job is to get loose.
I was so done with bowling ring when I got to the NFL. I just give me a little light workout or warm-up, and so it saved my bullets for the game. Yeah. What were we thinking?
Tim, you ever play bowling ring?
No.
That's where you get in a big
circle. Ring is?
Soft. No.
We should play bowling ring here.
Yeah. With
everybody in a circle.
Everybody in sports up.
One guy holds a ball in the middle, and he just jogs and turns.
Wait,
and the coach calls out a name. And you have to find who the name is, and you've got to run him over, or he's got to run you over. And you ain't getting out of the ring until you run whoever names he calls over.
Yeah.
You might be in all day, pal.
Yeah. That's what we do for warm-ups.
Beat the living.
Ah, your head would be ringing.
It's awesome.
Like, oh, this is great. Let's just beat the crap out of each other. It's great.
Mm.
But what is it? Okay, so none of us saw this coming.
Nobody saw this
come out.
Coming.
Is there a flaw in the leadership? Is there what are we seeing? What is missing that we're not seeing? Do they just not have the backbone we thought? Mentally tough, because man, the first nine, ten games they were cruising. It looked like a well-oiled. Locked in.
We know what the offense
zoned
is,
in.
We know what the offense is. It goes up and down. If they can run it 1 week, they can, or they can throw it.
Do you think the offense is just weighing this team down?
They're somewhat good enough, but like yesterday, the defense killed you. I think the defense killed you. I mean, you're basically using props like Landon Roberts to throw the ball to in the flat. Great job, a great effort by him. I'm so happy he scored. I love Landon Roberts. He's great, great teammate.
Do you think that's
the state of your team on offense.
Do you think that affects the defense, how the offense is performing?
No, because I think the defense should have went out there and pitched 10 or under against that. Like Joe Mixon running the ball, different story.
Right.
Best running back you faced all year.
Yeah.
You had trouble tackling him. You shouldn't have trouble tackling anybody yesterday. You should have been able to jam. You should have. Hey, if Steph needed some help, roll coverage that way a couple times.
Just because he's Stephon Gilmore doesn't mean he can't have a bad
day. That's right. That's exactly right.
It's like too much trust in him.
It is demoralizing when guys like Stephon Gilmore or Marcus Cannon, you know, guys that you depend on to have great games every time, have bad games. You know, if Stephon was having a bad game from the jump, and you know what? That'll be demoralizing to a defense when your number one guy is giving up as many yards as he was giving up.
So, all right.
It's going to be interesting to see how they respond to this, man. I don't know. Do they have what it takes to kind of dig deep? If they look at what's in front of them, it's a daunting three-game kind of gauntlet they're going to have to go through. Do they have what it takes to do it? I don't know if they're all on the same page or if they're all kind of working towards the same thing right now. If they have different agendas, I'm not so sure they have what it takes. It's going to be kind of fascinating to see.
We're still loaded on these calls regarding yesterday's awful, awful loss. A former teammate of ours, of you and I, is no longer with us. His son ended a football game on Saturday.
Oh,
I want to talk about that real quick. Did you watch any games this weekend on Saturday?
I didn't, but I know who you're talking about.
Some good football. We'll talk about that. Kevin Turner's son.
Big team.
The Sports Hub.
Takes a snap, wants to throw, looks left side, has time, throws, looking for the end zone. It's the pick!
Yes!
Coming where the pick is Nolan Turner! He had a pick in the semifinals last year and picks this off here. The second pick of Fields in this game. And Clemson is going to win it.
I got the eye of the tiger, the fire, dancing through the fire. Because I am a champion and you're going to hear me roar.
Wow. What an ending. What an ending to fantastic, call it what it is, semifinal game. I'm not calling it a bowl game. Clemson and Ohio State, big boy battle. Mm-hmm. That's a heavyweight fight right there. And Cole Turner, Kevin Turner's son, had the interception right there in the end zone to eliminate Ohio State from the playoffs. And Kevin's a guy we played with, had ALS, ended up passing away at a very early age. But his son went on, played for Clemson, and his dad would be proud. But, boy, what a day of football there Saturday with Joe Burrow. How about the first game?
I could not believe what he was doing. Seven touchdowns in the first half?
Now, when it turns
defense
that way.
Defense optional at Oklahoma. Everyone's, you know, Lincoln Riley. Okay, yeah. Yeah, he can really.
What's your next Cowboys coach, buddy? Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Better hire a defensive coordinator.
Oh, my gosh. How do these college coaches. I mean, there was a time there where I thought, you know, the hot college name coach was getting jobs in the NFL. I feel like that slowed down a little bit, but that's the name that you keep hearing. Because Jerry has a crush on Lincoln Riley there, and everybody loves him there at Oklahoma, but they never have played defense at Oklahoma. I mean, it's kind of like I'm always kind of shocked. You know, here's our guy in Arizona. It's Cliff Kingsbury. So Cliff Kingsbury, an offensive innovative mind.
Yep.
Did you ever see his defenses at Texas Tech? I mean, they were terrible, right? But yet he still gets a head coaching job. You got to be able to coach both sides of the football, man. And so, and Oklahoma's has always had kind of a bad defense, and they just got exposed, man. They really did. That was Joe Burrow. You talk about an interesting story for a kid that's kind of
you're waiting for
paid
a dip.
His dues.
You're and, waiting for that dip, you know, and just
but
man.
But it's all do you okay? So here's a kid, all right. So he played at Ohio State for 2 years. Backs up, you know, he's behind JT Barrett. He doesn't get a chance to play the kid that went to Washington
Haskins.
He plays behind Dwayne Haskins, so he transfers.
How many of those guys work out as Ohio State quarterbacks though? That over the years, you say they've had so many great quarterbacks that
none.
You had a guy like Joe Burrow, and you couldn't play him.
Yeah, none of them work. Every other position dominate. They put out so much talent. They have great quarterbacks, but they're never NFL.
Well, they have speed on the outside and they throw. You know,
tons.
Yeah.
But so Joe Burrow goes down to LSU and has just year last year.
Right.
Completes less than 60% of his balls or like 50% of his balls and then has a breakout year. Is this a kid that you – a guy that has a really great – that's what Mitch Trubisky, great 1 year at North Carolina.
Correct.
And then he gets the third overall pick. Is this a guy that you look at and you go, okay, you know, this is the guy that you would want to hitch your wagon to off of 1 year?
Yeah, nothing looks robotic, and it's all against really good competition. SEC title game, Oklahoma. Yeah. You're gonna play Clemson now.
Yeah.
If he does it again against something. Clemson,
yeah,
it's saying something. Okay. Like when you watch Trubisky, it looked turkey jerky. It's real rigid. You know, everything's in tight, and he's got that deer in the headlight look. He had it in college, and he had it as a rookie, and he had it now.
Yeah.
Burrow's
got
smooth.
Something different.
He's got a little moxie to him.
Confident,
savvy.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how well he does in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is the number one pick. They will ruin him.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, here's the thing, too. If you're Joe Burrow and you're his family.
I would take the workout.
They're Ohio-based from a very small town. Poor kid from Ohio. Went to Ohio State. Transferred down there, obviously. Do you do what Eli Manning did? Say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to San Diego. I'm going to go to New York.
Yeah.
Drew Brees ends up going. Like, do you Marvin Demoff, the former agent that had those guys that said, I'm going to orchestrate this to where you don't want to go there? We're going to go somewhere else.
Yes, I would.
Or are you going to be John Elway, not show up, not want to play for the Colts? Elway did it.
That's the one franchise I would not want to play for. Mike Brown and the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Colts sucked for luck. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you can navigate that or maneuver that or massage that and make it so that you can get your client to not have to play for that team that wants you. But if you can somehow manipulate it, I would do everything I could. Hell, what are the two franchises that like players decide to retire instead of play for them? It's the Lions and the Bengals. Carson Palmer wanted to retire from football before he wanted to play another year for the Cincinnati Bengals. Megatron, Barry Sanders, wanted to retire before playing another year for the Detroit Lions. No way, buddy. I would try and do everything I could to get out of that having to go play for the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, 617-779-0985. Let's get back to some of these calls here. Where's Steve at? Let's see here. Let's pull up Steve. Steve, what's up?
Hey. How you doing, fellas?
What's up, man?
Two quick thoughts. I coach high school football. Give my quarterback, he can make reads at the line. Why wouldn't Brady do something different at the end of the first half?
So.
Let's go to Greg in Lincoln. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. Tennessee has been one of the rumored landing spots for Brady if he decided to leave after the season. Mm-hmm. But the way Ryan Tannehill is playing this season, I think the Titans are all set. Tannehill has the highest passer rating in the league right now, 117.5. And Brady's way down on that list, tied with Jacoby Brissett. You know, he's been a little bit of a stiff back there, staring down Edelman, getting picked by the likes of Eric Rowe. He told LeBron once he'll play until he can't dunk anymore. Well, you're looking at a dink that can't dunk.
We did have basketball shoes on yesterday, Greg, to be fair. Nice pair of high-top whites. I know Brady said, I'll retire when I suck. Mm-hmm. I think those are the words he actually used. Tannehill in Tennessee, I think they got to keep him. I do. And I'm not a Tannehill guy. But based on the type of offense that they run, where you got a little bit of an athletic quarterback, mm-hmm. that run at RPO where you could do that fake down inside, you get the big back in Henry. Great talent on the outside. He's functioning now in that offense.
Crazy to
Brady
think.
Brady goes there, become a pocket offense, and things change. Now it's got to become Tom's offense. Mm-hmm. Tom's got to implement his offense. So I don't think Tennessee's a possibility.
I don't see him going to Tennessee. A lot of people link Phillip Rivers to Tennessee. And to me, that would make maybe the most sense. If you got what's working with Tannehill, I mean, he's been shockingly very good since he's taken over for Marcus Mariota. But a lot of people think because Phillip Rivers is from that area, I think he's from the northern Alabama, that he would maybe go there. Tom's not going to Tennessee. There's no way he's going to Tennessee. But, I mean, I see him, if there's the two teams, and this is, you probably talk this to death, I know, Zoe, the only two teams I see him going to, potentially New York, now that Shermer's out. I feel like it's a package deal. I could be totally wrong.
Josh go to the Giants?
I feel like Josh has to go with them. I'm trying to figure out if Josh and Tom are on the same page. You hear different things. I don't know. But I just feel like the continuity, the system, the seamlessness that would be there
right.
if Josh went to be a head coach and brought Tom to be the quarterback, to me, that's the only way Tom goes and plays somewhere else, is if there's a seamless transition, and it'd have to be because Josh McDaniels is the head coach.
I agree.
L.A., I don't know if they're going to fire Anthony Lynn, but.
Another risk for Josh, too, is, okay, how many, you know, I'm going to put a lot of effort into this, whatever place I go to. Do you want to go there and have a guy like Baker Mayfield where you can build your brand, your stuff for the next 10 years with that guy? In essence, if he takes Tom with him, Tom's that bridge guy to the next guy. You know what I mean? Tom's at the end.
Right.
Well, is it 1 or 2 years?
Probably 2 more years.
Is that worth Josh's time then? You know? Everybody thinks it's a package deal. I don't know.
Okay, here's what I think about that. Sam, hold that thought.
Yeah.
You know what head coaches want to do more than anything is keep having a job.
Yeah.
And so if you can string it out as long as you can, why not bring Tom in for 2 years? That buys you 2 years at least. See how that goes, and then you kind of start with a new guy after that. I think if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm like, I would love to have Tom as my bridge guy for the best bridge quarterback of all time.
I know you remember the Belichick-Saban documentary, and you know Belichick says, I'll do anything for my assistants as long as they don't poach from my program, tear down what I've made.
Right.
And McDaniels coming off that offensive coordinator position with the Rams, stock as low as possible, gave him a job again to kind of rebuild his stock. Would McDaniels really do that to Belichick? Not only am I going to leave and take a head coaching job, but I'm going to take your starting quarterback too?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Bill cares about the quarterback, but the word is, according to Albert Breer again, Josh is assembling a coaching staff behind the scenes right now. And obviously none of them are from the Patriots because I think everybody's
been taken.
Right. But that he is poised to take a job.
We kind of had to do that when he was doing the indie thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
He's been through it before. So.
Same kind of thing.
All right. Hub headline. Continue to talk. Josh McDaniels, another team pops. And it's the Giants requests a interview with him. Cleveland was the first, and we'll keep you updated if anything happens down in Dallas.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
4.5 minutes to go in the third. Offset eye. Roberts to the right of Michelle. First and 10 from the 30. Brady drops back against the book. Throws it to Roberts. Makes the catch at the 30. To 25. He's gone. To the 10. To the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots. And Landon Roberts.
Football player right there, man. Feed the kid. And I've been having fun with the coach the last 3 weeks. I said, you know they got a throw to him at some point. He goes, yeah, he's been asking for it. And they leak him out. So what do? You bring Roberts in. You pound him. And then you slip him out the flat to the right. Cools a cucumber. Brady floats it to him. Roberts makes the catch. Then he breaks the tackle. 38-yard touchdown.
One of the few good moments from yesterday. Put that on the positive reel. The hell of a catch.
You know, he caught the back end of the ball.
Yeah.
Like it was... That was a hell of a snag.
Well, because Tom didn't put it out in front of him. Tom?
Why?
I thought it was indecision because the way you probably draw it up and they practice it was he probably ran the flat. But when Landon got out there, he saw nobody was out there. So he turns his back and starts fading upfield.
Yeah.
Looking back. And I just think Brady just tried to throw just a little basketball jump pass to him. Let him catch it.
I don't know if you saw this, though, but they ran that exact play earlier in the game. Left him wide open, but he decided he went to a crossing route. I don't know if Sunu over the middle, but it was open earlier, and they went back to it later. It was as if they were like, dude, don't cover him. They're not going to throw to him.
Right.
And they totally ignored him in the first time they ran that play, and the second time the Patriots came back in the second half and ran it, he was still wide open. That was a very athletic play. It was a hell of a catch.
It's a great call. But, I mean, again, it's one of those things where – you're resorting to these type of plays on offense, which should concern you if you think this offense is good enough to advance and do things. Now, you do need those type of things when they did have good offenses. They ran bubble screen passes with Amendola and Edelman and the Who Man. You know, I'm eligible, ineligible, Baltimore, go study the rule book, thing, which led to Deflategate.
Yeah. They got to do it.
And they had good offenses those years, so it wasn't like that's what you had to resort to, but it seems like those are the only times you get big plays is when it's a trick play.
It's got to be a little bit of kind of sleight of hand, misdirection, a lot of shifting, a lot of personnel grouping,
right,
a lot of exotic kind of looks, screens, pick plays, gadget plays, trick plays to kind of get sometimes points on the board. It's just you have deficiencies at the tight end position and overall at the wide receiver position. So they have to manufacture points somehow, some way. Unfortunately, they have to do it maybe more times, more than they would like to this year because of, you know, they just don't have the talent on offense that they typically have.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the way they function too and go through spurts, and it's like punt, punt, yeah. Okay, they'll move the ball, then they stall. The red zone offense is very concerning. They get down there, they don't have the ability to say, you know, okay, like they're out in the middle of the field where they could pull tack, they could pull guards and they could pull centers. There are times yesterday where the pulling game and the running game looked great. But then why did you just stop it when you get down inside the 10?
Yeah, and I love
I know
it.
Things tighten up.
Yeah, they like to do those direct runs.
It's a mindset, man.
N'Keal Harry got a couple of balls thrown his way. The jump ball. Neither of them.
How about the first time he's in a jump ball, the first time that goes away, he gets up holding his shoulder. It's like, what is the toughness thing with this kid?
Yeah.
Is he not tough enough? It's easy to ask those questions.
It's interesting. Yeah.
You get up gimpy every time the ball's around.
Yeah, you're right. He did get up gimpy a little bit. He fell on his wrist, it looked like, or shoulder.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Tim and Needham. You're up next. What's up?
Garoppolo has no problem with rookie receivers. Wilson has no problem. What I'm getting at is it the trouble between Brady and McDaniels relating plays to their talents, or is it just that they're that bad that you have the best.
Well, they do have George Kittle to draw double coverage. Yeah. Best tight end in football.
Well, I mean,
it's like putting Gronkowski in this offense right now if he was good, you know? It would help those guys.
They're supposed to be the best at what they do.
Yeah.
And they're obviously not the game plan. I'm sitting there screaming, throw the ball, throw it away. You know, don't get sacked. I mean, then they run the ball. I mean, is it a matter of McDaniels not relating to these kids also? Or is it just Brady not trusting both the play and the receivers?
I think it's a little bit of both, and plus it's, you know, a guy missing three quarters of the year where he can't even practice, so you don't even know the kid. You don't know how he's going to react to certain calls, and the offense is so advanced that, you know, if he doesn't get the call, you look at the Houston game where Brady's trying to give even Dorsett the call. He didn't get it on the double move.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
It's frustrating. You have Jacoby Myers. He has an illegal shift. You don't see him the rest of the game. N'Keal Harry, you've had issues with him getting him lined up at times, and he's missed so much time that he's, you know, not maybe had the impact, obviously, that you were hoping to this year. And you got Philip Dorsett, who had two catches and nine targets the first time they played Buffalo back in whatever it was, week four, and now you don't even hear his name anymore, right? And then you have Matt Lacoste and Ben Watson and, you know, Ryan Izzo, who, you know, it's just you never see those guys out. I mean, Every now and then Ben will give you something, but it's just across the board there's inconsistency and issues. Yeah, I've never seen a wide receiver group quite like this with the Patriots, where you just can't get much out of these guys.
All right, let's take one more call here before Sounds of Sunday. Let's go to John. He's in Seekonk. John.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, John.
Hey, it's really about Edelman's injury with his shoulder. He's definitely not 100%. He's drawn the double team. I really want to know your feedback on where the hell is Sanu and Dorsett. These guys are drawing second and thirds, and they just can't get any separation. It's going to be troubling to watch them against the Titans, even though they're at home.
Yeah.
Just very concerning, man, what your thoughts were.
All right, John, thanks for the call there. What we're finding out is Philip Dorsett is not a one or a two. He's a pretty good four or five. Like backup outside guy. He's definitely a boundary guy. Sanu, extremely disappointed in him. They made that one nice play at the end to set you up before the James White touchdown. But other than that, he's not giving you much right now. You give up a second round pick to get that guy.
He's a thoroughbred too. He looks big, strong.
Yeah. Should be more productive, right? Like, why can't you throw it up to that guy in the end zone? All right, Sounds of Sunday are next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hello, football, my old friend. I'm sitting watching you again. The games on Sunday are my favorite thing. But when the guys who are announcing say something stupid, we will make fun of them Monday. And so we play all the Sounds of Sunday.
should let this just ride for the final hour of the show. Simon and Garfunkel, Greatest Hits.
Ah, love it.
What's your go-to song, Ted? Like, it's just not a good day today.
Oh, to just kind of lift yourself up?
No. Just to, like, dwell in your hell.
Oh.
Don't laugh, Michael. It's a serious question.
Oh, gosh.
Morrissey?
Like, just depressing. Yeah, Pink Floyd?
Zoe singing Brass Monkey?
That gets me going.
Yeah. What do you got, Michael?
You just want to wallow in your sorrow?
Probably. So we're doing Pink Floyd. This. Yeah, Pink Floyd. Ready to get in the pocket?
Depressing.
Let's get
Alanis Morissette. She's depressing.
She's
Jagged Little Pill. She was an angry. She's an angry
all her
artist.
Laundry out.
She was.
Awful. Ready to get in the pocket, McCone?
I am.
Well, that sucked, Tom. So do it again.
All right. <That's>
good.
check.
We're starting again.
The hell is that? Big test for Tom here.
Audible.
Never got in the pocket.
Check.
Yeah, well, it's fitting for yesterday. Go ahead.
All right, Sounds of Sunday brought to you by Honda Power Equipment and Harvard Outdoor Power Equipment in Harvard. That's winter terrible. Is on its way. Do what Zoe did. Get your home or business ready. Take winter head on with a Honda snowblower. See Honda's full lineup at Robinson's Ace Hardware in Framingham or Hudson or Nashua Outdoor Power Equipment in Nashua.
Yeah, nice Honda.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right, we start in Cincinnati where the Bengals beat the Browns. Come on. No?
Yeah, that's it. Hey, Zoe, what kind of Honda do you have?
You haven't hooked me up with a Honda yet.
I hooked him up with my old snowblower. The yard man.
All right, so we start in Cincinnati. Bengals knocked off the Browns and some fans getting on Baker Mayfield
yes.
this game.
That's good. Tell me. Let's go 1-14 team. And make sure you don't do it for you all out there, man. Let's come down here and tell me that's my face. We're not allowed to, you know that. Hey, come up. Hey, just come up, man. You know like we're not allowed to come down there.
You come on down up here now.
Yep. Baker's like, you ain't allowed to come up. Yep, but you come up here.
So Baker,
you know
man.
We ain't allowed to come down there. You more than welcome to come on up here.
It was hard to decipher who was saying what there, but Baker basically said to the fan, why don't you come down there and say it to my face? Baker. That kid does not get it. He hasn't gotten it. I'm not sure he'll ever get it, man.
Really? I remember going up the old Foxborough Tunnel, and they'd be, you suck, Bledsoe. And I'd be, like, giggling from the bottom. You suck, too, Solak. I'm like, yeah, I don't bug you when you're working at Burger King and I'm taking my order.
Well, that's fine to do that every now and then, but, you know, in the context of,
this
like...
This one's bad because it's season's over. You're done.
He's just...
Get in there and hurry up and shower.
He lets every little thing get to him. He's too emotional. I don't think he can play the position at this level because of the emotions, though.
Then is Josh good enough to sort of
reel him
back in?
It might be.
You know, you need that strong force.
You do need a strong head coach, offensive coordinator, to keep that kid. Yep.
All right.
Star Wars. I'm a Conor.
So, Chiefs needed the Patriots to lose, and they needed to beat the Chargers in order to get that first round bye.
This is disgusting.
They had the game locked up against the Chargers.
This pisses me off more than anything.
Kevin Harlan decides to do play-by-play of the Pats and Dolphins game while the Chiefs game is going on.
Meanwhile, Miami has first and goal down by four. And they're at the New England 4-yard line, first and goal. 29 seconds left. Here, Butker kicks the extra point. And Fitzpatrick throws in the end zone. Touchdown, Miami! The Dolphins have just scored. Gesicki, the tight end, got a laser in the back of the end zone on a goal-to-go touchdown pass by Miami quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick to take a lead with 24 seconds to go. The extra point coming up for Miami, leading New England 26-24. And the crowd now knows it. What a throw by Fitzpatrick. What a touchdown run by Williams on the last weekend of the regular season in the NFL. If the Chiefs win and New England loses, the Chiefs will be the 2 seed. They'll get the bye and they'll have a home game the next weekend.
I'm getting confused. What game are you calling?
I'm calling both games.
He's the best. He's good. I love Harlan.
I love Kevin Harlan, man. Why isn't he considered, like, maybe in a higher regard? I feel like he's up there with Marv Albert.
He's the king of radio, guys. He's the main guy. Yeah. But, I mean,
stud.
Order Fanatics now. 50% off your first order.
I love Kevin Harlan.
Scotty, how we doing? It's good to see you again here. He always remembers your name.
If you're the Chiefs, though, you're a Chiefs fan, and you're in that stadium, and you're seeing your team win, and then you're hearing the Patriots are losing.
I thought about that yesterday too, driving in. Like, what's worst case? What's worst that could happen today? Well, you lose, Chiefs. Well, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
And it happened.
It happened.
You freaking gave the
crazy.
Chiefs.
So it happened, and Zoe mentioned this before, but Andy Reid having a little fun at the Patriots' expense after that game.
All in all, great game, and hail to the Dolphins.
You can take down that license plate number and get you next time, Andy Reid.
To the players' credit, not a lot of laughing there.
Yeah, they're like, Andy, shut up.
Sure you want to do that, Andy?
Poke the bear?
You got a live camera, live mic on you here in the locker room. Yeah.
That was at the podium afterwards.
Oh, so that's a double down he did.
Wow.
Take care of business this week. You got some audio to play for the football team next week.
Yeah.
And they love that crap.
So. I don't know. Yeah, because it nothing. Yeah, maybe. Like, what's the big deal? He just kind of
won anything.
It is.
Because he never won anything.
Hey, dude. It's the Patriots. You never
victory
know.
Lap. Yeah.
You might have to play them. I'm telling you.
Well, you already beat them this year, right?
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Awesome Sunday night game last night between the I thought so.
It was good. Pretty epic.
You could see it right there on NBC 10 in Providence. Niners won the NFC West over the Seahawks.
Way to go, Tim.
So you work for NBC 10 then, huh?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be plugging another one.
No, nope. Goal line stand. Here's how it sounded on Niners radio.
Fourth down. Here's your game. Here's Russell Wilson back. Wilson throws. Caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line and dropped by Dre Greenlaw. He is short. The 49ers are going to win the game.
Well, we better stop looking at this replay because we remember what happened. Against the Atlanta Falcons.
Wilson is saying it's a touchdown. So this whole thing is coming down to replay. Hollister
right
caught it on the one-yard line.
Greenlaw on Hollister.
He's short.
No chance.
He is short.
Touchdown.
He is short.
No
he
touchdown.
Is short. The ball's
okay.
Behind
not
the
down.
Line.
Not down. Not down.
Okay.
Down.
I think he's
short.
Down. Before. I think his
short.
Left hip is
short.
On the ground before
short.
That ball crosses
now,
the
you
plane.
Cannot overturn that. If that was the original call on the field, but he's short.
Okay.
He is short. But here we are all waiting. Players are milling at midfield, wondering. The game is over. There's no more time on the clock. Whatever the ruling is here from Tony Corrente will decide the NFC West. Here's Corrente.
After review, completed pass receiver was down short of the goal line.
49ers win!
San Francisco will take over on downs. First down. With a
game clock
operating.
The 49ers have won.
To 9 seconds.
Wow.
Hey, so any analysis on how the color guy did there?
Well,
in that call?
He now, that is not Tim Ryan, right? Is Tim Ryan back? He is back.
I think it was a one-game suspension.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they really got him, huh? So, that's Tim Ryan.
I mean,
he sounds like, you ever hear Fred Toucher do Mark Davis, the voice of Brian?
No.
He's talking about Wallach's mom over there. I like to go to P.F. Chang's. Yeah, it's Mark Davis here. He's down. He's definitely down by contact.
Well, he was just talking over his
death.
Play-by-play guy.
I do that, yeah. Too.
Well, but it's, you know. He kept going, though. He
right.
Just, and, you're Zoe.
They're excited. They're excited. Just, it's number one seed, man.
How about Jacob Hollister? You see the numbers he's putting out?
We had him.
He's 41 catches, 330 yards.
Yeah, he got hurt every day in practice.
Yeah, you're right.
Against air.
You're right.
Like he punctured a lung falling, but nobody hit him.
Goes to Seattle and he's
Iron Man.
He's a machine.
Yeah, yeah. Russ Wilson's go-to guy in short yardage.
Crazy.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right, so we'll wrap things up with the Patriots radio broadcast. Sosi going a little too far here with the name checks during one timeout, apparently.
Cool. They're at Gillette in Foxborough. Bob Sosi, Scott Zolak, with in-booth producer Mark Capello, in-booth engineer Dennis Knutson. Chuck Morrison, Mike Perry down on the sidelines. Jim Louth, Mark Bertrand, Hardy is here. Jeremy Colley back in the studio with our trustworthy intern.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Did you forget anybody else, Bump?
He forgot me.
Watch.
He did.
He did, didn't he?
Forgot me too, Dan.
Of course, Tom. Tom Morgan.
What a sweetheart.
Bob Sosi forgetting Tom Morgan. Get even with him, Tom. Do something to him next time you see him. A wedgie.
Frustrating day for you yesterday?
Yeah.
You were
Why,
probably.
You got more?
Yeah, I got more.
Oh, you were probably on edge the entire game. I mean, there was not a lot of moments.
I saw you get nervous when you got under 8 minutes because now it's like possessions are minimal.
But,
you almost lost your cool here.
Brady hands it to Michelle. Gets good block from Roberts. Carries to the left across the 45 as he slips it. And then lunges to the 41 of Miami. Baker and Rowe collaborate on the stop for the Dolphins.
What did Roberts say this week after that game? I'll run right through your bleeping face, right? He doesn't care. Mike Reed won't put it in Twitter. He won't spell the word out. Just nasty talk all week by Roberts. But that's the approach he brings.
Please don't spell it out for us today.
We're not going to spell it, Bob.
Sounded
we can't do
it today.
We're getting a lot of trouble here, but
second down and two for the Pats from the Dolphin 41.
Starts with an F, ends with a G.
You think Sosie's ever said a bad word? Like, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
I'd love to hear Sosie just drop F-bombs over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Out of that mouth. That'd be funny.
We used to have a tech that...
He's gotten mad before?
Whoa,
he's like
man.
Lost
one
his...
of the, one of the first years, we were in Cincinnati in the booth. And I don't know if I ever told this, but I told it on air during a broadcast. But Bob couldn't hear himself in the headset. So our board guy's looking at it, adjusting this. He's like, no, can I have more?
Yeah.
So the board guy comes down and says, Bob, you don't... have your mic in front of. I know where to place the mic in front of my mouth. Like the guy's grabbing Bob's mic and pushing it in front of his face. And I'm like, oh my God, look at this.
Like the first time you've seen him lose it.
Like, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Professional broadcaster. Yep, that one in.
So some young kid.
A dinner. There was a dinner one time. Yeah. We'll leave that. We won't tell the details of that
one. Okay. Oh, just lost at a dinner, huh?
Yeah.
At the waiter.
Yeah, I mean, the guy we've traveled with.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Leave it at that.
So. Got uncomfortable, huh?
Oh, yeah. Pretty damn good one.
Bob seems like the kind of guy, he's the nicest guy, nice guy. Well, let's
stop. Oh, no. He's got a switch.
We'll roll off his back until
he's got a switch.
Go too far.
It's like me. I poke Reese. Eventually, Reese's going to snap one.
Yeah, he will.
You anything else? We good?
No, we're good.
All right. That does it for Sounds of Sunday. Tim McCone, Hub Headline, and fourth and final hour. Zolak and Bertram with Ted Johnson, Meathead Radio next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.